You are listening to CKUW 95.9 FM, Winnipeg.
The following is an encore presentation from CKUW's archives.
Mike and Chris, the two princes, like each other a lot. One day they decided they should give radio a shot. On CKUW
95.9 FM, Winnipeg, Manitoba.
We tell some jokes, inspire folks to truly harness in.
And if you haven't heard the show, well, where the heck you been?
Are you giving your 10%?
Mechanism today.
Where'd you go?
It's coming up.
The best part of the show is that nobody's listening. So we can say most anything.
Nobody's there.
Nobody cares. We're all gonna die
someday. This is our show and nobody's listening.
Okay. All right. Welcome to the Two Princes on CKW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, Manitoba. I'm Chris.
I'm Micah.
It's good to have you here today. Hope you had a good week.
It's a very becoming sweater.
Yeah.
Ribbed.
Yeah, ribbed for my pleasure.
Does it give you a sensation?
No, not really. Hmm. But, you know, it's you gotta derive pleasure wherever you can, even if it's not sensational.
That's true. How's it going today?
Oh, it's okay. I can't see, but...
Why is that?
Oh, I got... My pink eye has returned, although I'm assuming it's not pink eye, because I don't think you can get pink... I don't think it's normal to get pink eye 2 weeks after just getting out of pink eye.
You had pink eye again?
I have... My eye is, like, bright red.
Huh.
And it's just awful, so I'm assuming it's something other than conjunctivitis.
Huh.
Which is great. I love that.
Sometimes it's like one of those, like an eyelash.
Yeah.
There's this new thing where guys are cutting their eyelashes off.
Yeah, I should do that.
To be more masculine.
Oh, is that a thing? Seems weird.
Yeah, that's very strange. But if it's for, the purpose of eye health.
Yeah, maybe I might need to. If my eyelashes are too pretty.
I thought you were just a big weed head.
No, I mean... I am, but that's not why this is happening to me. The weed heads.
Yeah, weed's bad for you now. I just heard about it.
That's, yeah. Enough studies have come out now. Yeah. I remember hearing that it was healthy. Weed was medicine back in the day.
I mean, I think all of these things are medicine.
Yeah.
If they're used in the sort of, traditional, like, moderate way.
Cocaine was medicine back in the 1800s.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's back when they were selling cocaine. Like, pop was originally just a cocaine beverage for the good of your health.
Yeah.
And now it's not even in the beverage that they sell.
I know. Isn't that severe?
So severe. Coke got rid of the cocaine, and now it's no longer medicine.
I heard this thing. It was actually... Warren Buffett was talking about how Coca-Cola, yeah, or other colas, I guess, any cola, has no taste memory.
Oh.
So if you drink a soda in the morning, a cola in, yeah, the morning, and then you have another one a couple hours later, it'll taste just as good.
That's, I can valid, yeah, sounds right.
Whereas if you drink, like, a cream soda, it'll get boring.
Yeah. Oh. It's good to know.
Yeah.
So don't drink cream soda.
And that's, that's the most interesting thing Warren Buffett has ever said.
Mm-hmm.
Is he supposed to be one of the good billionaires?
I think so. Although he's also, you know, there's questions as to how he got his billions, which is a whole other thing. But nowadays, he is one of the good billionaires, and that he's saying, it's probably not so right that I'm a billionaire. He just hasn't done anything to give any of it back.
Isn't he just very old and has just accumulated wealth slowly and sustainably by employing people in a fair way?
Yeah. Warren Buffett has slowly and steadily accumulated billions of dollars by employing people and paying his employees fairly in an equitable market, and it certainly wasn't playing short games on stock markets and stuff.
It's funny how when people play the short game, they're like heroes or something.
Yeah.
Because they're like rebelling against the stock market.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't really understand any of that stuff. It's very confusing.
Yeah, it's all pretty.
I just think it's crazy that when you see that footage of people in the stock exchange and they're just like screaming and going crazy and stuff. How like it just represents what our culture is, what our society is. Like people acting insane
over
money.
Money, yeah. Which is silly, because like how much money I've proven, I've experienced how much money you really need to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that
much. Not very much.
No. There's no reason for people to...
And like...
You could survive pretty easily before you reach the level where you're getting where you're not receiving your tax money back.
And everyone's like, oh, it's so much harder to have money these days. But like, I know for myself, like, I could probably have a better job if I wanted.
Yeah.
I don't, like, maybe it's not that, I know there are people it's not that easy
for. We are exceptional humans, so yeah. It's easy for us to get whatever, like, you know.
It's just so, yeah, I could so easily,
we could
but I don't want to sell out.
Yeah, selling out is the worst thing you can do. Yeah. Once we sell out, we lose that ability to,
complain?
To complain, and to, like, after we sell out, we're no longer the person who can get any job.
Yeah.
You know, because we sold out, so our quality is less.
Yeah, yeah.
And sure, we have the job we needed the whole time, but... That we're not needed, but have the best job we can get. But it's like, you know, at that point, it's like, once you have the best job you can get, it's like, you can't get a better one.
Yeah.
And that's... Probably the worst thing, because there's no potential for upward growth.
Yeah, for me, that job would be a tuna aficionado.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, they go to the market and they bid on those.
And I guess once you have, like, 2 years of tuna aficionado on a...
Aficionado-ese
on your resume, you are no longer employable. They will look at that 2 years and be like, what is this gap? You're like, what gap? I was a tuna aficionado. And you're like, that's not a job. And you'd be like, not if you love it, obviously.
Yeah. Do what you love.
Do what you love, and you'll never work a day in your life. But then you'll have a giant gap in your resume, and we'll have to explain that to future employers. And good luck, because they'll find someone else who doesn't have a gap, or who'll do it for less money or whatever. And it's like, you know, soon you won't even be able to pay to get a job after 2 years of a tuna aficionado. Imagine 3 years. Oof.
And the knives they use are so sharp.
Yeah.
Do you think that there's a knife... Like, you know, there is, like, the best... Like, the most of everything that exists out there, but it's hard to know which one it is. Like, there somewhere out there is the sharpest knife.
Yeah.
Which one is that?
Ooh.
Like, where is it?
I mean, it was probably crafted by an 18th century Japanese monk.
Yeah.
In...
But isn't that a sellout move?
Yeah, that's why...
For a monk to make a knife?
Monks are all about selling out.
I guess whatever allows them to just sit around all day.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's got to come from somewhere.
They're very lazy.
Yeah. Being a monk is overrated. You know, meditation is just sitting. You're not even doing anything.
Yeah, you're being a lazy monk.
Just sitting around. I've heard of monks who... There are monks who sit and meditate for 8 hours a day. Could you imagine just sitting for 8 hours a day? What a waste of time. And then they sleep 8 hours a day, too. So it's like 16 hours of your day has been spent sitting and sleeping. And that's the good life that we're supposed to live? That's the enlightened experience of existence that we're supposed to believe is the way to go? To just sit, like, you know, there was a time when I used to meditate in front of the TV for, like, and you know what my parents told me? Stop being so lazy and get a job. you know, and it's like, well, I'm just meditating. Sure, the TV's on and I'm watching it, but, like, I'm still just sitting.
And they're your parents, so you're wrong.
Yeah, because you must honor your mother and father. I hate the Bible.
I saw some, I took a picture of it, actually. It was a, what was it? It was one of those things that people put up, like, just sort of like someone anonymously prints, like, a little information sheet.
Yeah.
I think it was about police corruption.
Nice.
And then someone wrote on it, Bible.com.
Oh, good.
What does that mean?
I'm guessing that if you go to Bible.com, you'll find all the answers. Oh, did you get a mail out? Did anything come in your mailbox recently from some lady in Wolseley?
No, what do you
mean? Oh, I got an invitation to Jesus' funeral.
Oh.
In the mail, and it came with a handwritten letter.
Jesus' funeral?
Jesus' funeral.
Well, I mean, that is coming up.
Yeah. And I got an invitation from some lady who lives on Wolseley Street. Wolseley Avenue? Whatever it is. And I would say I kind of want to dox them just because that'd be fun. But their letter had such nice handwriting. Like, the letter itself was, you know, annoying. I didn't really, you get this envelope with your suite, you know, your address without your name on it. And you think, oh, this could be important, or it could be someone else's and I'm breaking the law. Then you open it up to find out, dear neighbor.
Ugh.
And then just all this stuff about, you know, could you imagine a life of happiness and joy and peace? And did you know that Jesus died for your sins? I'm like, oh, God, no.
I just wanted to make an apology, though. First of all, two apologies. First of all, first apology, I have no sense of humor. I'm sorry for that.
Yeah.
Second, I don't think monks are lazy. They're just misunderstood.
Okay.
Just like that lady.
Yeah, just like that lady who, I was definitely misunderstood the purpose of her wasting 50 cents on postage to end up in my junk mail garbage bin by my door.
I don't have a key. I can't check my mail because I lost my keys.
That's great. I wonder how much important mail you've been missing out on.
You know, it's funny because,
watch someday the whole building explodes because you haven't been able to remove your junk mail, and it just grows and grows and grows and expands and expands and expands until...
You know, it's good though because, there's two other things, two other events happened in my life, and then I was like, oh no, what's the third one gonna be?
Oh, it's just...
And it was the keys.
Oh, okay.
I hope.
How long have you lost the keys for?
Like last week sometime. Oh. It was when it snowed too.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, so maybe it'll melt and you'll see it.
I'm hoping somebody puts it on a bench where I was walking.
Mm.
There's no address on them, so that's good.
On the bench, where were you when I was walking?
What song is that again?
King Kunta.
Oh yeah, that's a good one. I haven't listened to all of Kendrick Lamar, but in my opinion, that's the best one.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's the most commercially viable.
It was a hit. I mean, Kendrick's whole catalog is just gold.
Yeah. But I don't know. I still have reservations about that Drake thing.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's just people getting... It's just... But I guess
The whole rap thing is silly. Like, you know...
The rivalry stuff.
Yeah, like, you know, battle rapping and gangster rap where it's just like, I'm so great.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know. I don't know, man.
You don't have to...
I don't understand what makes you being able to say that you're better than everyone else in the best way. I don't see the quality in it. I don't understand. Like, sure, Nas, you're incredible at whatever it is you're doing, but I don't know what you're doing. I only know that you're great because everyone says you're great.
Yeah, but that's...
And that's because you say you're great. And I guess you say you're great better than other people who say they're great.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
I mean, Kanye West called himself a genius. I guess that's the ultimate example of that.
And everybody agrees.
No, they don't.
Not anymore.
I don't think did anybody ever agree with that?
I think everyone, hip hop heads still believe that Kanye is a genius.
Huh.
Because he included soul music and talked about his feelings, which was revolutionary in 2003.
Oh yeah,
for a hip hop artist to talk about their feelings.
Yeah, yeah, he had that. I remember the first time I heard him, he was like, "I'll admit I'm insecure."
Insecure.
That's not even how you say that word.
Nope.
I guess he was right, though.
It was so that he wouldn't actually ever have to say the word, and he can later on deny people saying he was insecure, and he'd be like, "No, I didn't say I was insecure. I said I was insecure." Secure is a town.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He was in Secure.
It's just north of Skibidi, Ohio.
Don't go there.
What?
Referencing the new slang.
I love the new slang.
I like the concept of it.
I just want there to be a town in Ohio called Skibidi.
What does it mean?
I want to buy a tract of land.
Nobody knows what that means.
And call it Skibidi. Well, Ohio means awkward and cringe. Or cringy.
I thought it was Ohio.
Ohio. That's because it's so awkward to say. And then.
You're saying hi to Oprah.
Skibidi is like really bad.
But that's what all words are. It's just a positive or a negative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the kids today are so negative. Bet.
But my dislike of it is mostly just because I didn't come up with it.
Yeah, obviously. For some reason, the stuff you come up with doesn't track.
Yeah, but because if it did, I wouldn't have anything to be angry about.
Yeah. You need something to be angry. We all need something. The anger is what sustains
us. Make it harmless, though.
Yeah.
Like, be mad at the trucks driving by clearing the snow.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know those people.
No, but I hate them.
They're in the way.
Yeah, they're in the way.
But it doesn't really affect my outlook on life, you know.
It just makes you wish you can, like... Do you ever wish, like, you could just explode people's heads with your mind?
No.
Oh, I do.
I'm better than you.
I know.
Just kidding.
I just want that to be a skill that I have. And that nobody know. I wouldn't have to do anything that takes
things off. Right, right, right.
Like, I can just be like, you're annoying.
I'm going to blow up your head.
You don't belong on a planet.
Well, there are a lot of people that feel that way.
Yeah.
About,
me.
No, about the guys driving around in,
yeah,
in the snow in the clearing. Snow. Why are they even out? Like, it's going to melt.
Yeah, I know, right?
Like, who cares how long it takes?
People worry about snow as if it's not going to melt. Just like let it snow.
It's funny in England when it snows like an inch and the whole country shuts down.
Yeah,
bunch of wieners, man.
Yeah.
They came with the cast for the new Beatles. They're gonna do 4 Beatles movies about each member.
Oh, good.
It's gonna be awesome.
I love content.
Yeah.
Who's in it?
The only one I it's good. I don't recognize most of these people. Okay. The only one I recognize is Barry Keoghan or whatever.
Oh,
Keoghan.
Keoghan, is he playing Paul?
No, Ringo, I think.
He's playing Ringo.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess so. I mean, not really.
Ringo's actually more attractive than him.
So much more attractive.
And Ringo's the least attractive Beatle. Yeah. He's cute. He's just got a weird nose.
Yeah. He was the one Beatle hired specifically for his unattractiveness.
Yeah, yeah. So Paul wouldn't have to worry about being outshone.
John Bernthal should have been Paul, or should have been Ringo.
Or F. Murray Abraham.
Yeah.
He's got a big nose.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever see Amadeus?
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Oh, is F. Murray Abraham Salieri?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't even know if Ringo has a big nose. I think it's just kind of... It's like sometimes people...
To the left.
Sometimes people's noses are distinct or like...
Distinct.
Yeah, don't quite match their face.
Yeah.
Noses are way more important than people think.
Mm-hmm.
I know when I got my first nose job, it was a pretty easy decision.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I remember your nose before then. It was...
I mean,
It's not a sight for psoriasis. Well, actually, it was a sight that caused psoriasis.
It wasn't even my decision. It was made for me.
Yeah.
When I was in a place where I don't even remember what I was doing, and somebody changed my nose for me.
Oh, that's very nice of them.
And
I'm thankful for them.
Yeah.
Because you probably wouldn't have done
it. They rearranged my face. And I wouldn't have done that for myself.
No.
But I needed it.
Yeah, it's a small...
Whether it was... for whatever reason, I needed to have my face rearranged.
Yeah.
You have a nice nose.
I know.
It's really beautiful.
Yeah. It creates beautiful symmetry.
Yeah. Beautiful cemetery.
Beautiful cemetery.
I saw most of the Bob Dylan movie.
Yeah, is it good?
Yes.
Okay, I'll check it out.
They definitely, like, if you really know the history, like, some of it was kind of...
wonky.
Yeah, I mean, like, Johnny Cash hands him a guitar.
Oh, good.
Yeah. It just seemed...
Johnny Cash never handed anybody a guitar.
Yeah. But Johnny Cash did encourage him. Like, they were friends.
Yeah.
And also, the whole idea of Bob Dylan recreating his legend...
Yeah.
Like, he's always, you know what I mean? He's like one of those...
liars is what they're called.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Try to get a straight answer out of the guy.
Yeah. But yeah, Timothy Chalamet, he was good.
Yeah, Timothy Omelet.
You know, great. Songs are good, of course. I don't, like, it was amazing after I saw that. I'm like, man, whoever did that soundtrack was really good.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't believe the songs that were in there.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's like you're watching this movie and you're like, so the music that comes out nowadays in the sort of folk Americana realm, like, some of it's good, but a lot of it is just kind of middle of the road. And then you get this movie
mm-hmm.
with these incredible songs.
Yeah.
Like, why can't... Yeah. Like, how did they... Why isn't... Like,
how did this come out all of a sudden with all these incredible songs that... We've somehow just not, like, how did it all come out now in 2025?
How are they doing this?
How?
It's amazing. How like, why isn't this what we're listening to?
Yeah.
Whoever did these songs, incredible. Like, it was yeah, amazing. I couldn't believe it. So, yeah, whoever they had doing the soundtrack should be a world famous artist.
Yeah. I hope one day they get the recognition that they deserve.
And, yeah, Bob Dylan had an interesting story.
Yeah.
We're the Two Princes on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
I'm Chris.
I'm Micah. I got a bone up here. I don't want you monkey mouth motherfucker sitting in my throne again. Hey, nigga, what's happening? I'm mad. But I ain't stressing. True friends. One question. Bitch, where you and I was walking? Now I run a game, got the whole world talking. King Kunta, everybody wanna cut the legs off him. Kunta, black man taking no losses. Oh yeah. Bitch, where you and I was walking? Now I run a game, got the whole world talking. King Kunta, everybody wanna cut the legs off him. When you got the yams. What's the yams? The yam is the power that beat. That beat, that beat. You can smell it when I'm walking down the street. Oh, yes, we can. Oh, yes, we can. I can dig rapping. But a rapper with a ghost rider. What the fuck happened? Oh, no. I swore I wouldn't tell. But most of y'all share bars like you got to buy the bunk in a two-man sale. A two-man sale. Something's in the water.
Something's in the water.
And if I got a brown nose for some gold, then I'd rather be a bum than a motherfucking ball. Oh, yeah. Bitch, where you and I was walking. Now I run a game, got the whole world talking. King Kunta, everybody wanna cut the legs off. King Kunta, black man taking no losses. Oh, yeah. Bitch, where you and I was walking. Now I run a game, got the whole world talking. King Kunta, everybody wanna cut the legs off. King Kunta, you got the yams. The yam brought it out of Richard Pryor. Manipulated Bill Clinton with desires. 365 days times two. I was contemplating getting off stage just to go back to the hood, see my enemy and say, oh, yeah. Bitch, where you and I was walking. Now I run the game, got the whole world talking. King Kunta, everybody wanna cut the
like selfie. King Kunta, black man taking no loss.
Oh yeah.
Bitch, where you and I was walking. Now I run again, got the whole world talking. King Kunta, everybody wanna cut the legs off.
You goat mouth mammy fucker.
I was gonna kill a couple rappers, but they did it to themselves. Everybody's suicidal, they didn't even need my help. This shit is elementary, I'd probably go to jail. If I shoot at your identity and bounce to the left, stuck a flag in my city. Everybody's screaming Compton, I should probably run from mayor when I'm done. To be honest, and I put that on my mama and my baby boo too. 20 million walking out the court, baby, whoa, whoa. Yeah, fuck the judge, I made it past 25. And now I was a little nappy-headed nigga with the world behind him. Life ain't shit but a fat vagina. Screaming, Annie, are you okay? Annie, are you okay? Limo tinted with a gold plate. Straight from the bottom, it's the belly of the beast. From a peasant to a prince to a motherfucking king.
Oh yeah?
Bitch, where you and I was.
By the time you hear the next pop, the funk shall be within you.
Now I run the game, got the whole world talking. King Kunta, everybody wanna cut the legs off.
King Kunta,
black man taking no losses.
Oh yeah,
bitch, where you and I was walking. Now I run the game, got the whole world talking. King Kunta, everybody wanna cut the legs off.
How do you feel about that rub-a-dub-dub song that he did? The JFK?
Oh, like a dog in the street. I heard it once, and it was one time too many. It was like, you shouldn't have to hear you shouldn't have to listen to a song for 15 minutes, for the length of a sitcom, and not be as entertained.
Well, Bob Dylan's...
I'd rather watch an episode of Friends.
Yeah, yeah. Bob Dylan has gone on record saying, like, he can't write songs anymore.
That song would prove it.
So why did he do that? I guess he was compelled to talk about JFK.
Yeah.
60 years after the fact.
Yeah. He had a fresh new take. A fresh new take on JFK.
On JFK?
JFK. Yeah. I'm Jeff K.
Jafari Cola?
Jafari Cola. He was shot like a dog in the streets.
I think that's cool, though. I think artists should be allowed to make some objectionably kind of bad material.
I guess so.
I mean, it's
their right.
It's just anyone can do they're always it. Trying to do something, you know? Like Neil Young, you know, I love Neil like Young, but not all of his stuff is great.
I feel like if you're capable of doing great things, then you put out stuff that is not of that quality, it can only be because you're not trying anything. Like, if you're going to put out something bad, I'm going to assume that you didn't work on it.
Hmm.
I mean, if you've proven you're capable of Heart of Gold, and then to put out like Hate and War or whatever that song was.
Hmm.
I mean, at that point, it's like you've stopped trying. You're just trying to cash a check.
But there's a difference between
just trying to promote.
There's a difference between someone like Neil Young, who's even in his old age, is still evolving and trying things, and always finding something new to be angry about. And then someone like the Eagles, who just come out of retirement every once in a while.
Well, the Eagles have made it clear that they have only ever been about one thing. Like, I've never... Like, usually when I watch a documentary...
Yeah.
You gain an appreciation for...
For the act.
For the act. For the artist.
Yeah, like when I watched Bob Dylan movie, like I really gained an appreciation for the songs.
Yeah, and I never cared about Tom Petty until I watched Running Down the Dream.
And I still can't figure out who did those songs.
Yeah, you'll never will. But like, I watched the Eagles documentary.
It was 4 hours long.
4 hours long, and I hated the, like, I didn't think I could hate the Eagles more, because I've always been, like,
well, that's part of your identity.
Being hating the Beatles was part of my identity before.
Yeah, well, that was just insane.
But, like, I know. But, like, I, like, you know,
sorry.
I heard the Eagles songs I knew were Hotel California. And
great song.
I don't know. I didn't care about it. I think that, and there was one other one that I knew by the Eagles. And I was like, this is annoying. I don't like this at all. The Eagles are garbage. Mm-hmm. Then I saw the documentary, because I had recently watched the Tom Petty one. You know, back then, up until that documentary, the only Tom Petty song that I've heard that I knew was Tom Petty was Free Falling. And that song's, you know, I could live without that song. Just like I could live without Hotel California.
Mm-hmm.
I could live without all that. But then I saw the documentary and went, oh, wow, he has so many good songs.
Oh, yeah.
And there's songs that I heard that I knew and I liked and I didn't know who did them. And I was like, oh, wow, okay, Tom Petty's great. And then I saw then I got on a big documentary kick. And then I saw the Eagles one. And I'm like, okay, maybe I'll like the Eagles. And it's like, no, I don't care about their songs, first off. And I don't care that every single thing they talked about was money. I got paid this much for this show. They tried to take our money away, so we sued them. Our band broke up because we supported a Republican candidate. And this guy was like, we probably shouldn't do this. And so we kicked him out of the band. I'm Don Henley. I made it so my contracts give me all the money.
I don't think artists should go on record supporting any political
candidate. I'm
candidates.
The other guy. I made sure I was the one who got paid. And then
poor Don Felder.
Don Felder wrote
the music for Hotel California, and they screwed him.
Screwed.
Just because he didn't come up with the warm smell of colitis.
Warm smell of colitis.
Yeah. Joe Walsh is cool.
Yeah, Joe Walsh is just, hey, man.
He was drunk that whole time anyways.
Yeah. He was like, whatever, it's just playing guitar.
But then he got sober and wrote an annoying sober guy song called One Day at a Time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nice to have...
an anthem.
An anthem. I don't know. I think it's really cool when artists get sober. Like, either they're going to die or they're going to sober up. And, you know, when they live the principles they've learned... in recovery, when they use those principles to be, and when they bring that to their work, it's really cool. It's just, not even just that example, but when people write songs that are so obviously about some positive thing, I find that it, I don't know, it can be a little corny.
Yeah, positivity is corny.
But Joe Walsh is awesome.
Yeah.
He was on the Drew Carey show.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know. Cameo, or do you have a recurring
role? Like,
or?
I think he's from Cleveland, and that show was all about being from Cleveland. Yeah.
Cleveland, Ohio.
They had the original song was Moon Over Parma, and then they had the second song, which was... I can't believe I remember all this. The Cleveland Rocks, which was by the President of the United States of America.
Yeah.
You know, those guys, that band, their first album has done more positivity and more good in the world than all of the other presidents combined.
Yeah. That's just four of them. Three of them?
Three.
Three presidents did more good.
Three unofficial presidents.
51 others. 55 others. How many are we at?
I don't know.
Who knows? I'll never know.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's kind of, I don't know. I think, like, do you think it ever helps when a celebrity gets behind a political candidate? Like, I know I saw, like, Bruce Springsteen did a whole thing about endorsing Kamala Harris.
Look where that ended up.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand, like, if a candidate is using your song without permission and you don't want them to.
Yeah. Being like, I don't endorse this person because I don't endorse anybody.
Yeah. I think you should have a rule all across the board. If you don't want one candidate to use your song, you shouldn't want any of them to use your song.
Nobody can use my song.
Or you write a new song for their campaign that sounds like it's complimentary, but it's actually a really, really subtle joke.
Yeah. Because if you're not joking around, you're not creating real art.
Yep. And we're those authorities on what real art is.
This is 100% verifiable.
We're never going to sell out, and we're going to have 5 fans, and we're staying here.
Yeah, we're never moving, folks. We are here on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, Manitoba, till we die. I'm Chris.
I'm Micah. Nice segue.
Yeah, baby.
Desperado, why don't you come to your senses? You've been out riding fences for so long now. Oh, you're a hard one, but I know that you got your reasons. These things that are pleasing you can hurt you somehow. Don't you draw the queen of diamonds, boy. She'll beat you if she's able. You know the queen of hearts is always your best bet. Now it seems to me some fine things have been laid upon your table, but you only want the ones that you can't get. Your pain and your hunger, they're driving you home. And freedom, oh freedom, well that's just some people talking. Your prison is walking through this world all alone. Don't your feet get cold in the wintertime? The sky
Alright, we're back for more action.
It's an action-packed time here at the Prince-mobile.
Yeah, we record in a mobile studio.
Yeah, it's cool. It's actually just like we're in a crib laying down and we got our mobile studio like spinning around in front over our heads.
Yeah.
It's got a nice little light and a stuffed animal. And you know, I need to be burped soon.
Did you ever think black lights were cool?
I think when I was a kid.
Like when you get those glowing posters?
Yeah, when I was a kid.
It's so loud.
Yeah.
Like certain things, I think certain things really appeal to people because they're so obviously a thing.
Yeah.
Like blacklight posters. Like, my whole room is going to glow, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And like fedoras.
Yeah. I liked fedoras back in the day.
Yeah. I think that there were certain hats, certain fedoras, like, that had a nice look to them, but the kind of modern fedora,
yeah,
that's like kind of thin and has like an angle to it, and the brim is really starched.
Yeah,
like you can throw that on and just wear like, you know, really unflattering everything else.
Yeah,
but you have a fedora.
Yeah,
so you're locked in.
Mm-hmm. Also, like modern fedoras are just built so. Like, it's the look of the fedora that they're...
Modern fedoras just hit different.
Yeah, you need the older fedoras where they're just really nice hats, you know?
Yeah.
A really soft top. Everything's all... It's like, oh, this is just a comfy hat.
Yeah.
But nowadays, it's this thing where it's just like... doesn't really fit your head right. They only make it one kind. You get them for, like, $35 at, like, Inc. International Closures for Men.
Oh, yeah.
And he just, it's like, eh.
Incel Incorporated?
Incel Corporated.
Does anybody ever actually call themselves an incel? Is that like...
I don't know.
I think it's kind of mean.
I mean, when I think about it, yeah.
Like, I think calling somebody an incel is just going to make them more the thing that you think they are.
Yeah.
That's mean. Like, maybe there's a reason why they're hiding away. At least, or that's maybe what you think of them.
And it's because they're nice guys, and nice guys always get screwed over by women and their evil femininity.
Yeah, you know, like...
Or masculinity may be toxic, but femininity is going to destroy the world.
Yeah, the thing is, like, things that I don't understand make me angry, and that's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
And
can't change.
It's always, anything that's ever happened to me in relationships, it's always the woman's fault.
Oh, yeah, that's
because
true.
All women are crazy.
Yeah, so crazy.
Yeah.
Like, they just get on their periods, and it's just like, oh, God, calm down.
Like, I don't have to wear a diaper.
Yeah.
Maybe one day.
One day.
And then maybe, I'll understand.
Yeah. But, maybe.
You know, I think I want to have a little bit more understanding of women, because I've been...
You should just have a really bad diet.
I'll get more girlfriends if I... Yeah, if I have a horrible diet that just blows out my colon impermanently.
Yeah, so you have to
I have to wear a diaper, and then I'll have more girlfriends.
Yeah.
Because I'll have more of an understanding of what women are going through.
I think that's why women like older men.
Because they have an understanding of what it's like.
Because they have an understanding of what it's like, because they've blown out their colons, and they all wear diapers.
Yeah.
I think that's the attraction to older men that women have.
Yeah.
I mean, like, they just understand me better. Yeah. Because they've worn a diaper.
Yeah.
So I know what it's like to need something cushiony under their bottom.
Do you ever see those commercials for, like, this, like, these, this, like, Phoenix? It's like...
Yeah.
It's like, they have these, they're, like, doing it like it's a podcast or something.
Yeah.
And there's a girl and she's like... Honestly, like, it's just, like, rock hard the whole night. Like, just, like...
He has such...
Like, that's the blue pill!
He has such confidence.
Yeah. It's weird how, like, hipness has been commodified.
Yeah.
Like, it's in it... Like, being a hipster originally was, you know, listening to Ween.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, no, Ween never really fell into the hipster category. They're just their own thing. But, like... Yeah. You know, like Sonic Youth, Dinosaur Jr., The Velvet Underground.
Yeah.
You know, when everybody in the 80s was listening to Huey Lewis in the News, I was listening to Velvet Underground.
Yeah. You're cooler.
And even the Pixies were a little too...
Commercial. Yeah.
But, like, you know, some of their songs are okay. And then it's like... that became... mainstream, and then people are buying these hats that don't even fit over their ears that are probably like $90, and they're bragging to their friends about how expensive the hats were. So if you think about it, maybe the whole thing was just some form of elitism from the get-go.
Sell hats. That explains...
I've never touched a crab.
No.
So I have to have this hat.
Yeah.
To prove that I'm rugged. Yeah, it's crazy. Maybe I'm a hipster, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
But just like pretending you like coffee that isn't good? That's no way to live.
Yeah. Coffee's only supposed... You're only supposed to drink really bad fair trade coffee, and you're supposed to drink it black.
Well, I'm into the fair trade thing. It's just like, you know, it doesn't have to...
Sorry, it tastes like tomatoes.
Yeah. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I can't get past the fact that it's like they mix coffee with tomato juice.
Is there actually a coffee that's mixed with tomato
juice? Oh, I don't know if it's mixed with... But it certainly tastes like it's mixed with tomato juice.
Interesting. I had a coffee once that tasted like cigars.
Ooh, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
Where from?
We're not naming names.
I just want to go there and have that coffee.
Yeah.
I want to get that coffee, go to the Bay, try to find that jazz club cologne that I saw once upon a time when I was on a date with a beautiful girl and never saw again, both the girl and the cologne. And
what are you more heartbroken about?
The cologne. It smelled so good. And the girl. Although we've recently become friends again. Nice. So it's like, okay. I mean, I haven't seen her still, but we've reconnected a little bit and said, hey. And they're like, hi, I have a much better life without you. And I'm like, that's great.
Nobody said that.
They did.
Especially if you met her once.
I met her a few times before that. And then
yeah, you're so important that you can affect someone's life that way.
I am really important. I'm really good at destroying other people's lives.
Hating yourself and loving, like, being overly hard on, being like overly full of self-doubt and self-pity, and being overly confident, it's the exact same thing.
I know, two sides of the same coin. I am an egomaniac.
So am I.
Yeah, we all are.
I have to fight it all the time.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I just learned to not fight it. Just take it in.
Take it in and just let it go.
Yeah.
Because I can't control what other people are going to do.
Yeah. People be peopling.
Yeah.
People be peepholing.
Yeah.
Gross humans.
Nah, we're all pretty cool.
Peepholing.
Well, I mean, how else are you going to tell what's happening at your front door?
That's fair.
And then sometimes you can watch people going by, and sometimes it's alluring.
Ooh. Man, I remember when I used to live with my friend's mom, and she would always just, like, anytime there's something going on across the street, just right there in the window.
Well, she wants some action.
It's like,
she's curious.
Leave the window alone. Don't just stop spying on your neighbors.
Yeah.
She's wonderful, though.
I mean, it's weird how, like, they should really just have, they should have more block parties.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, because people will just, like, sit around in their houses being all nosy about what's going on.
Yeah.
And like, somebody, because you're distanced from it, that distance creates the tension.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what it is. It could be some kid splashing around. And then, you know, they accidentally splash someone, and then the parents or the person watching them is like, they better get that kid in line. And then if they just met those people,
yeah,
they'd be like, they wouldn't care.
Hey, Timothy.
Yeah. It really is. That is really, I think, what it comes down to, is that people are commenting on each other or looking at each other from a distance. Mm-hmm. And that friction, the distance creates the friction, because it's like, you want connection, but you're not having it. So you have to go against it because it's upsetting that you're not having the connection. Whereas if you just were out in the streets with the people and everybody was just there, you'd realize we're all kind of the same. And, you know, as long as I don't play Throw My Hands Up in the Air by Teo Cruz.
Yeah.
Because everybody would... But everybody would start getting down with it, and it would be annoying.
But if you're at a block party, you know that's going to come. That song's going to. Well, for the first bit, it's going to be a lot of Cher, lot of Meatloaf. But eventually that song's going to come on.
And there's always the person that organized the block party.
Yeah. And they think there's something special.
Well,
they walk around greeting everyone as if it's their house
shaking
party.
Shaking everybody's hand.
Yeah, and it's like,
stop. When they clearly have conjunctivitis.
Yeah, it's like, sorry. I put up the barricade.
Hey, do you like the barricade? I put it up.
I put it up.
Thanks, cool.
Traffic, they can't come through here right now because I put up that barricade.
You're standing near them and you hear them say that to every person?
Yeah. It's just like,
and then it turns into a your block off party.
You're like, don't worry, and I'm going to be coming around with popcorn later in a big giant bowl. Make sure to get some popcorn from my big giant bowl that I bring around.
It's unseasoned to make sure nobody is offended by it.
Yeah. We have nettles over there if you'd like to season it yourself.
We have a self-loading nettle station.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever had popcorn with nettles?
No.
It's amazing.
No, it's
amazing.
Not.
You gotta try the nettles over there. We'll give you the popcorn from my big giant bowl. I'll come around with a big giant bowl of popcorn. Grab it, and then you go hit the nettle station for the nettles. It'll be really great.
Aren't nettles like doesn't it hurt to eat them?
Yeah, they're not very good.
Yeah. Just a weird hippie thing.
Hippies are so dumb. It's like, why do you not? They're not dumb.
I think people that are just naturally
out of your way.
I think there are people that are naturally kind of in the hippie realm that are fine. It's just as soon as, and it's not that anybody is or isn't fine. I mean, maybe some people are or aren't, but I'm not trying to say anybody is or isn't fine. I'm just saying when people identify so deeply with something, that it becomes their whole life.
Yeah.
I think it can be a little bit overwhelming.
Yeah, it becomes like a fashion and they have to go a little extra and ruin perfectly good popcorn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I don't think there's nutritional value in nettles. And you just ruined good popcorn.
Yeah.
Everything inside of me is changing. Can't find a way to feel alright. Just another memory I'm estranging. Don't have the will to meet him tonight. I thought he would bring me what I asked for. He never could find what I was looking for. I just wanted, and it brought me gasoline.
it's funny how you see people, like the block party thing reminds me of when I was at Folklorama.
Yeah.
And there was this person that was, like I was involved in the German pavilion. And it could have been so easy and laid back if the person running it wasn't so stricken with fear. Yeah. Because people in their lives are always having to put up with things. You know, they're always, there's always some authority figure at work, uh-huh. or their parents were mean, or their kids are mean, or, you know, their spouse left them for somebody else, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All these disappointing things in life.
Yeah.
And it just feels like they're a pushover. So they're like, this little thing is where I can have some authority. And they take all that stuff that's been put on them and then put it out on a really basic situation, which is just dancing to some German music.
Yeah. Dancing to some German music, some people making some very mediocre German home cooking. Sorry, I hate the idea that the food, like, you gotta go to...
You gotta check out the...
You gotta
it's okay.
You gotta spend $15 at... How much is it to get in? Like, 10 bucks? 15 bucks?
I don't know.
10 or 15 bucks at the door to watch these people dance poorly. These aren't trained dancers.
And that's okay.
And then on top of that, you gotta spend, like, 70... You gotta spend, like, 18 bucks on 5 traditional Ukrainian pierogies.
But here's the thing. It's about community. It's showing different cultures, yeah. and like people hanging out. And if you make it all serious, then yeah. it's going to get in the way of people just being there together and having mm-hmm. a nice time. That's what it's about. It's not about the highest quality of dancers or the best quality of food. It's just people hanging out.
I just think it should be free. I demand a free Folklorama.
You know what else should be free?
People are protesting for free Palestine. I'm protesting for a free Folklorama. This year, I'll be at the legislative building. Someday, I'll be walking by the legislative building twice a day, protesting a free Folklorama.
Because you're a hipster.
No, because I live. I live near where I work, and in between there is the legislative building where I'll be protesting for a free Folklorama. Not just one pavilion. All the pavilions. Because it's just so, why have we made it so cost prohibitive to experience other people's cultures? The people who need to experience all these cultures can't afford it. Because all these volunteer groups need to make some money for whoever makes, who gets some money at Folklorama? Who does it? Is it the community associations? Is it the Folklorama Corporation who is has built an empire on the backs of volunteers? Like, where does the money go? That's what I want to know. Do you know? Because it's a lot of money. And like, I know that you don't get paid. Do you get paid?
No.
I know the kitchen staff gets paid, some of them. But oftentimes it's just grandmas who've slaved over a stove for their whole lives to make yeah. this one Folklorama meal.
But people have a fun time. I don't know why you had to go so far with it. I was just talking about how sometimes people have a position where they can exercise some authority yeah. and it kind of gets in their own way.
Well, I am at war against the Folklorama committee.
No, you're not. You just made that up.
I've decided that it's become my newest thing that I really want to know about. Like, that's the rabbit hole I'm going in.
That's
when I get angry in front of the internet, eventually. Whenever I have time to do that.
Well,
which I might never have time to do that. How do people find the
time?
Some
of these things may actually be worthwhile, but I can definitely say that yours is not.
It might be. Where did the money go? Let's see who in Big Brother is getting their pockets padded.
The one thing I do notice is that I'm not saying on some issues are pretty clear as far as I'm concerned. But I also think that people who get really really fired up about certain things aren't always helping. Because they're just putting more anger into the situation.
Mm-hmm. In the words of a Nancy, Anger gets stuff done. And Nancy's the spider god of mischief. Okay, so it was...
From what?
From, I can't... he's an African god of mischief, and he takes the form of a spider.
I love that.
And he says that anger gets stuff done. So it's time to rise up. Rise up,
and take out Folklorama.
And take out Folklorama. Meet me at the legislative building.
Well, no, sorry, not take it out. We want it to be... free.
We want a free Folklorama. And we will be protesting on the Assiniboine side of the legislative building somewhere between Monday to Friday, somewhere between 6:50 and 7:05 in the morning, and 3:45 and 4:15 in the afternoon. Sometimes I get off work a little late, and that causes me to arrive there later. And we're just going to do a quick walkabout in the direction that I'm going to protest for a free Folklorama. But that way I can, you know, use... You gotta use your commutes as effectively as possible. And I'm using mine to protest for a free Folklorama. And now if you ever want to find me, you know where I am. On my way home from work.
And, you know, whether I agree or disagree, I support your right to get out in the streets and stand up for something you may or may not actually care about.
You will be standing there right beside me in solidarity. On the morning one, because that's how great of a guy you are.
We are the Two Princes on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
I'm Chris.
I'm Micah. Finale segment here. It's been quite a rip-roaring ride.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody disagrees with anything we said, just remember that the Two Princes do not stand by the views expressed by the Two Princes on the Two Princes.
Yeah. Anything the two princes say can't and won't be used against them in a court of law.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless it does, at which point I don't know what to do about that.
My bag is just like not hating stuff, you know. Yeah.
It's like, a good bag.
Yeah.
It's a nice canvas one.
Yeah. And I know it's easy for me to say that because you know, I've probably had what looks like an easy life. However, a lot of my problems have been fueled by disdain for things that I don't even need to be disdainful towards, like block parties. You know, yeah. When I was younger, I saw people doing block parties and I thought, this is so lame.
Yeah.
And I was...
Now you've grown old that we don't have block parties anymore.
And now that they don't have block parties, I'm mad about that.
Yeah, because like... And I don't like that they've replaced block parties with street parties.
It's the same thing, but, new name.
No, but it's bigger and, you know, you like on the Maryland Street Festival or the Sherbrooke Street Festival or whatever, that street party...
You know, it's too big.
Yeah, I don't live. You know who goes
there? We need to stay in our tribes.
I don't exactly. Well, you need to have those, but also have a block party where it's like, you know what? The people on your block come and do the thing. And have it, you know, we got to be local before we go. You got to think locally before you go global.
Actually, they do have them in Wolseley.
Oh, they do. That's nice.
And I don't know if that Christmas lady was there handing out flyers.
Yeah.
But I would hope that if she was, they would allow her to do so.
So I could burn it in her face.
But I mean, no, but think
and
about
laugh.
It, though. If they don't allow her to hand out the flyers,
mm-hmm.
she's going to be like, well, my cause is even more important now. And
is that, yeah.
Fueled,
She's being censored.
She's being fueled by resentment because people don't understand. Whereas if she was just allowed to hand out her flyers, someone would take it and be like, ugh. Someone else might take it and be like, cool.
Paper.
Someone else might take it and be like, oh, I agree. And someone else might take it and be that's nice.
Yeah, that's nice. You're nice. What a nice lady.
And, you know, I really think that, like, all of these things could be solved by us just listening to each other and accepting where we're at, even if some of these things sound crazy. But, like, if I'm talking about someone talking, like, for the record, like, I know that we've expressed our views about Flat Earth.
Yeah.
And, like, I think that it's safe to say that we don't necessarily think the Earth is flat. But it's a fun thing to toss around.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if I'm having a conversation with somebody who thinks the Earth is flat, as I did recently,
yeah.
I might say, like, I just don't think it's possible. But I'm not going to say, you're a stupid idiot for thinking that. Because I don't think that's nice.
No.
And if I say, you're a stupid idiot for thinking the Earth is flat, I've just made the Earth flat.
Because it's, yeah, you've removed the... rounding power of love.
Thanks for understanding.
Mm-hmm. I'm a smart guy.
I know.
I don't believe the Earth is flat. I know it is.
Yeah. The moon landing is fake,
oh,
apparently,
so fake.
Too.
Yeah, 100%. Where did that... How, like, the camera. Where was it? Like, the camera was not on the spaceship. Who set up the camera outside on the moon?
Whoa.
Because we didn't get the straight from the spaceship angle.
You don't think they just went and... You don't think they could have just set up a camera and then walked down the stairs again?
Why would that... Well, even if they did that, that means that the first...
What if there was a long camera attached to the... Obviously, people
have
brought this up. How'd
they get it out there?
What was the explanation for that?
I don't know. Let's see.
Wow, that one thing means it's all not real.
Yeah.
Just that one thing.
I mean, it's a pretty big loophole. You can run a truck through that one. It's either, you know, at the very least, they probably lied to us that the first steps on the moon were indeed the first steps on the moon. Because somebody had to put on the camera.
I mean, if the moon landing was fake, why does it matter so much?
And the flag was blowing. There's no wind on the moon. Well, it means so much because America dumped billions on billions of taxpayers' dollars.
To be better than Russia.
To be better than Russia and get to the moon first.
And we're still looking at that today.
And have you noticed they've never gone to the moon? They didn't go to the moon. Did we talk about that last
week?
They
went like 10 times.
But they don't do it anymore. Why? Because
it's too expensive.
It's too expensive now. And it wasn't back then when money really meant something.
Do you think Apollo 13 was just a drive down the coast?
I thought it was, yeah, probably.
They did that
Apollo,
on purpose.
I believe that Apollo 13...
So they were flying around the moon, but they did it on purpose because they couldn't allow them to actually go to the moon.
Yeah, I believe Apollo 13 was all done on sound stages across L.A. You can quote me on that.
Wow.
Probably like Universal Studios or whoever.
I think Gary Sinise would agree. Did we talk about Apollo 13 last time?
No, we didn't.
Oh.
But we should have.
We did recently, though.
I know. We never talk about Apollo 13 enough.
That's a great movie.
It's so good.
Ah, I love it. Yeah. Do you think Tom Hanks ever gets like fed up with being this nice, wholesome guy all the time? Like, that's his image, you know?
Yeah. I think so. I think he kind of has to be, because he was unable to laugh at Ricky Gervais.
Well, because it was... because Tom Hanks has to believe that that cinema is an important part of the American landscape. And for Ricky Gervais to just go up there and poke holes in that.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't... It's not that Tom Hanks was trying to toe the party line. It was that it just felt like a slap in the face of the very reason why they're able to do what they do. But, I mean, that's what I think.
Yeah.
Which I understand, but I also agree with what Ricky Gervais was saying.
Yeah, yeah. Your life's your life has no meaning. Neither does mine.
But that makes it meaningful.
Yeah,
just exist in the moment you're in and don't
be happy
about
that you picked the right industry to become the best at.
Yeah,
good for you.
You're the most important person in the world, and some other people that are also as important, more or less as important as you, are sitting around. Eating the most expensive German sauerkraut that isn't even that good. And then there's some people on stage dancing mediocre German dances, yeah, which Germans can't even dance. That's not even a real thing.
Yeah.
And then you're expecting that we have to pay for this?
Yeah, we have to pay $15 and we have to pay ridiculous prices for the food?
I'm sorry, but Ricky Gervais was right. Go thank your God and go home.
Yeah. Thank your God, thank your agent, kiss your wife.
But I mean, when I was at the German Pavilion and Tom Hanks walked in,
yeah,
it was a big deal.
I bet.
But the thing is, like, when you meet a celebrity like that, he doesn't want you to like grovel at his feet. You know, he just wants you to come up and be like, "Sup, Tom?
Yeah,
nice working, Forrest Gump."
Thank you, Tom.
That was really good.
Yeah, just don't bring up Lady Killers.
What was that?
That was a movie where Tom Hanks managed to make the Coen brothers look like terrible directors.
Really?
Yeah, it was like their worst movie and Tom Hanks starred in it.
Was it his fault?
No, I'm sure.
It was just a terrible movie?
I'm sure it wasn't a great movie, but I, you know.
New Paul Thomas Anderson movie coming out.
Oh, what's that called?
I don't know, but it looks crazy. Leonardo DiCaprio and Benicio Del Toro were in it.
Yeah. Excited for PTA's new movie.
It looks like it's going to be, because some of his, he's kind of a little bit like a Neil Young. Like, I mean, all of his movies are interesting, but some of them are a little bit more, some of them are better than others.
Yeah.
But he's always trying something new.
Yeah.
And it's always well done. But some, like, I don't know, Inherent Vice to me was kind of boring.
Yeah. But he was trying to make an unmakeable movie.
Yeah. Because that's a Thomas Pynchon book, which is like 4 million pages.
Yeah.
Or 4 million words, maybe. How many words does your book have?
Mine only has 67,000.
That's crazy. One word is off, and the vultures are going to swoop in and say, "Hey!"
Yeah.
That's the wrong apostrophe. That still confuses me to this day. But yeah, so that's cool. Coen Brothers 2, not all their movies are amazing.
No.
I thought A Serious Man was really good, though.
Yeah.
Did you ever see that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really good. It was a movie that you looked like it could have been really boring.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. It was awesome.
I just love how, all the Coen Brothers movies, they all go all crazy in all different directions. And then they suddenly meet back at the end, super connected.
Mm-hmm.
Like Burn After Reading. It looked,
But but it's not forced.
No, it's just... And I'm like, oh, that's amazing how it all connects.
Yeah.
I really like it.
I think we've run out of things to talk about.
Yeah, I think we've also... Yeah. We've run out of things to talk
about. I'm sorry, I wasn't trying to say that what you were saying wasn't interesting.
Sure, we started talking about Coen Brothers movie.
We're
also out of time. So it's the perfect time.
I should have said, I think we're out of time, because that was hurtful.
We have run out of things to say at the perfect time, as we have run out of time to say things.
Thank you, you saved
me. We hope that you have had a wonderful Wednesday that was preceded by a wonderful Tuesday. And you know what? I hope that your Thursday is equally wonderful. Get some sleep, wake up, get ready to do the same thing tomorrow, because this ride don't stop here on The Two Princes on CKW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, Manitoba. I'm Chris.
I'm Micah.
We love you all.
Love you all.
As much as we can.
Because we can't see you.
Yeah. If you wish you're here.
Bye.
They're selling postcards of the hanging. They're painting the passports brown. The beauty parlor is filled with sailors. The circus is in town. Here comes the blind commissioner. They've got him in a trance. One hand tied to the tightrope walker, the other is in his pants. And the riot squad, they're restless, they need somewhere to go. As Lady and I look out tonight from Desolation Row, Cinderella, she seems so easy. It takes one to know one. She smiles and puts her hands in her back pocket, Betty Davis style. And in comes Romeo, he's moaning, "You belong to me, I believe." And someone says, "You're in the wrong place, my friend. You'd better leave." And the only sound that's left after the ambulances go is Cinderella sweeping up on Desolation Row. Almost hidden, the stars are beginning to hide. The fortune telling lady has even taken all her things inside, all except for Cain and Abel and the hunchback of Notre Dame. Everybody is making love or else expecting rain. And the good Samaritan, he's dressing, he's getting ready for the show. He's going to the carnival tonight on Desolation Row. Ophelia she's neath the window. For her I feel so afraid. On her 22nd birthday, she already is an old maid. To her death is quite romantic. She wears an iron vest. Her profession's her religion. Her sin is her lifelessness. And though her eyes are fixed upon Noah's great rainbow, she spends her time peeking into Desolation Row. Einstein disguised as Robin Hood, with his memories in a trunk, passed this way an hour ago with his friend, a jealous monk. Now he looked so immaculately frightful as he bummed a cigarette. Then he went off sniffing drain pipes and reciting the alphabet. You would not think to look at him, but he was famous long ago for playing the electric violin on Desolation Row. Dr. Filth, he keeps his world inside of a leather cup, but all his sexless patients, they are trying to blow it up. Now his nurse, some local loser, she's in charge of the cyanide hole, and she also keeps the cards that read "Have mercy on his soul." Can hear them blow. If you lean your head out far enough from Desolation Row, across the street they've nailed the curtains. They're getting ready for the feast. The Phantom of the Opera in a perfect image of a priest. Here a spoon-feeding Casanova to get him to feel more assured. Then they'll kill him with self-confidence after poisoning him with words. And the Phantom shouting to skinny girls, "Get out of here. No, Casanova is just being punished for going to Desolation Row." At midnight, all the agents and the superhuman crew come out and round up everyone that knows more than they do. Then they bring them to the factory where the heart attack machine is strapped across their shoulders, and then the kerosene is brought down from the castles by insurance men who go check to see that nobody is escaping to Desolation Row. Praise be to Nero's Neptune. The Titanic sails at dawn. Everybody's shouting, "Which side are you on?" Then Israel T.S. Eliot, fighting in the captain's tower, while calypso singers laugh at them and fishermen hold flowers. Between the windows of the sea, where lovely mermaids flow, and nobody has to think too much about Desolation Row. I received your letter yesterday about the time the dawn I broke, when you asked me how I was doing. Was that some kind of joke? All these people that you mentioned, yes, I know them, they're quite lame. I had to rearrange their faces and give them all another name. Right now, I can't read too good. Don't send me no more letters, no. Not unless you mail them from Desolation Row.
Other station can meet your needs like we can. CKUW 95.9 FM.
I need a freak to hold me tight. I need a freak every day and every night.